And now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobbin, with my co-host, Carter Brantley, back again this week. Carter, how are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Today is a busy day for the sports world.
Yes.
Really excited. Yeah, super excited to get into it. And the Rays aren't even playing today. You know, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
It's a weird little scheduling quirk. Shout out to the Bucks, or not shout out to the Bucks, but right. Yeah, excited to talk some Rays baseball because it's been a week. It's been a bit eventful. You know, there's some yeah. stuff we got to talk about for sure. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. And eventful, I think, is the right way to describe it, because I made some very strong proclamations on last week's show about the way games had to go this week, and they did not go that way. So we're going to talk about it. As much as it's unfortunate that things didn't go that way, we got to talk about it on this show, and we never shy away from it. So we hope that you're all having a good week and you're enjoying Rays baseball, even if the if you're enjoying the baseball, maybe not the outcome, as Dwayne likes to say. And you'll join us here to talk about it. If you've got some thoughts, drop some comments over on YouTube. It's the easiest way for us to get to see what you're saying. We want to hear from you guys. If you want to hear more from us and you're enjoying the show, do us a huge favor and subscribe and follow on all the social media platforms that you enjoy us on, and drop us a like if you just want to show us while we're doing this that you enjoy it. We really, really appreciate it. So we're going to actually jump kind of straight into it, because we really do have a lot to talk about on this show. Argenz, I think that's how I say your name, sir. Appreciate you. Raise up. As much as, you know, we got the positive vibes going. Unfortunately, this week started off with four straight L's, and that is not exactly what we had in mind. You know, it was unideal to drop the last game of the Giants series, a game that just seemed to never really have much juice from the get-go. There was no scoring for the first five innings of the game, and then it was all Giants until the end. Couldn't really get much going at all offensively off of Logan Webb. Probably a little too predictable. Pat a couple of times we were talking about this series in weeks ahead, mentioned, hey, you got to find a way to not, you know, to be in a good spot for the Logan Webb game, and we were, but he ended up kind of shutting us down. So not a great way to end a otherwise positive Giants series.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great Pat put it perfectly, you know, because Logan Webb, I mean, my goodness, one of the best in the game. So no shame in getting shut down by Logan Webb. That wasn't really the frustrating part. And it was a solid series against San Francisco. So that's not really something to hammer home about. But I do feel you. It was frustrating because, man, a sweep would have been a big, like, hey, let's go, you know, maybe let's get back on track side sort of thing. But even so, I was pleased with the way they played in San Francisco for the most part. So it could have gone worse. They could have, you know, they could have lost the San Francisco series too. That would have been pretty ugly. But yeah, overall, not bad at all. Not bad at all. Very pleased with the San Francisco series individually.
Yeah. Speaking of ugly, the Yankees series. I said last week on the show, you have to sweep this series. The Rays needed this to swing them back in the right direction, win the season series versus the Yankees, put themselves in a position to make up some ground in this sort of mad dash to the postseason. And they did the exact opposite of that and started it out with a absolute stinker of a game from Shane Boz and really the entire Rays pitching staff. I guess, you know, it was mostly Shane Boz and Ian Seymour, Clevinger, and the rest of the crew closing the game out were fine, I guess, even though Montgomery managed to give up a run at the very end there. But you get three innings each from Boz and Seymour, six earned from each of them. Just a really disappointing start from Boz, and a little disappointing to see Seymour, who has been pretty good so far, come in and not really be able to quiet things down.
Yeah, I mean, the Boz stuff, it's tough because he's still coming off of Tommy John. You know, it's his first season off of that injury. You want to give him a little bit of time. But at the same time, like, you know, these games count, you know, like, they're not meaningless. He's not going out in a spring training facility and throwing against, you know, I don't know. It's frustrating because you want to give a guy a little bit of breathing room, a little bit of a runway, but man, it's August, you know, it's been a few months, and not great. He got off to a hot start. I thought Shane Baz was going to be an all-star with the start that he was.
Yeah.
And my goodness, it's just been peaks and valleys, and the valleys have been quite low. And this was a really, really gnarly one. And to give up like Jose Caballero having a multi-home run game, like in my heart, I'm like, good, cool. Like, because Jose Caballero seems like a nice guy, but oh man, giving up two home runs to Jose Caballero, like, come on, guys. Like, I know it's Yankee Stadium, the Yankee Stadium format. It was two little league home runs. I get it, but. Oh man, that was gnarly. It was tough to watch. Had to turn it off. It was too much. You know, mental health is important, so yeah, you know, gotta maintain that. Seymour's been so good. It's tough to kind of excuse his outing, but you know, everyone has a blow up outing. Stuff happens. Yeah. But Boz. I don't know what to say about that. Hopefully, it's just the Tommy John surgery. You know, coming back from that. So. We'll see. I have full faith that he can turn it around, but yeah, it's been really bad this year. He's been tough.
Yeah, it would have been nice if some of those cabby home runs that he's gotten with the Yankees could have come when he was playing at Steinbrenner Field.
That would have been nice.
Although I thought overall he was pretty good for the Rays. If you want to hear some copium on Shane Baz, I've got a little bit of copium for you. If you're up
there,
for
you
it.
Go. I love it.
The copium is that the X stats are much lower than the actual stats. So ERA right now for Shane Baz sitting at 5.22, bad. XERA, 3.93. And again, you know, expected stats are based off of things like exit velocity, launch angle, you know, all those things. And again, they don't take into account location of where balls are hit very much, if at all. And so some of that is saying that, hey, the quality of what it's trying to tell us is the quality of contact that he's giving up is not quite so bad. It's not great because a 4 ERA still is not good, but it's suggesting that maybe he's getting, you know, he is getting worse results than he should be. And the FIP also kind of mirrors that. His FIP is at 4.78. The XFIP is at 3.91. So his ERA, his XERA and XFIP are kind of right in line with each other, right around four. And but his actual stats are much higher. So if you're looking for some copium, he is, his walk numbers and his strikeout numbers are pretty much in line with his career averages. The walks have been high, and it's been an issue, you know, kind of his entire career. A lot of these young Rays pitchers with big stuff have issues with the walks. Although honestly, you know, an 8% walk percentage is not the end of the world, and his strikeout numbers are up a little bit, 24%. So, you know, those numbers are in line, and his, you know, K to walk ratio is a little bit better this year than it's been in past years. So there are some, you know, if you look under the hood, it's not on fire. But it is, you do have to say, even if he was getting the results exactly, you know, relative to what the expectation would be using those underlying metrics, it's still a 4 ERA, which is a fine for a 4-5 starter. But we had hopes for Shane Baz to be a little bit better than that. And maybe those hopes were too high coming off of injury, but it's hard to not feel a little disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he just flashes a lot of talent. You know, he's got a lot of electricity in that arm. You know, he's got some fun stuff, the jumpy curveball and the just ridiculous fastball. So you just expect more from him. You know, and it hasn't been there this year. But he's still young. You know, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out if the Rays determine to, because you know the Rays are constantly wheeling and dealing, you know, they could very well move on from him for whatever reason, but I wouldn't necessarily expect that. But we'll see if he can turn it around in 2026, because 2025 has just been, it's been a bit of a rough go of things for him, but he can turn around. He certainly has the talent too.
He does. And the one other thing I will say in his defense is he's currently bumping up against some career highs as far as innings pitched goes. He is on track to hit around 150 innings, which is a good, healthy number for a starting pitcher in today's game. So, you know, this is the first season in which he would be doing that. So at the major league level, especially. So, you know, his previous high was last season when he was coming off of injury as well, and he pitched 80 innings. So this is a significant jump for him. That's a theme, you know, as we talk about some of the other Rays pitchers who are struggling, that innings pitch numbers are kind of a, you know, recurring theme. So you'll hear us mention that again. The hope being he's done it once this year. We can hope to see him build off of this season into next season. And because I don't think there's any world where he's not a part of the rotation next year, the way that the current minor league, you know, crop of starting pitchers, there's nobody that's like really ready to go. The Rays generally don't go out and get, they may get one starting pitcher, but I think there's a really good chance Boz is going to be in the rotation. So the hope will be that this season is a jumping point for him. And I like getting the only thing I like about this, game is it continues the trend of Seymour, even though he didn't pitch very well, getting in games and getting multi-inning, because I think there's a really good chance that he is retained in that role or is starting more next season. And I've liked how he looks so far. So I'm pleased to see him continuing in that role.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Seymour. I think he can really be a valuable member of this pitching staff, especially, like you said, moving forward, if he continues to get a little bit more innings in the majors, for sure. He just limits hard contact. You know, that's great. Like, he doesn't have the flashy stuff that Shane Boz does, but he does it in a very different way. Going back to, like you said, with Boz, just struggling a little bit this year, but I would be curious to see how much it's impossible to really separate right now because, you know, we're in the moment. Like, they're in George M. Steinbrenner Field. It'll be interesting to see if they can separate, like, hey, we're pitching in this insane pitcher's park that's also a minor league stadium. And then next season, if they're back at the Trop, then, like, they sort of regress a little bit. And then it's like, oh, this is the Rays' normal pitching stuff. I am curious to see how much the stadium factor plays a part into how the Rays pitching staff in general has been performing, because that's a tough hand to be dealt. To have to pitch not only with the Yankee Stadium dimensions, but, you know, no big bleachers in the outfield. So the wind is going crazy and it's tough. It's tough, especially because, you know, that right field short porch, like, you just sneeze a ball over the right field fence and, you know, the Rays have all right-handed starters, you know, so that whole, you know, you can match up with lefties across the lineup and not only play into the righty lefty stuff, but also play into the fact that right field is just, you know, 50 feet away. So, there are a lot of mitigating factors that just make this a tough year for the Rays pitching staff in general. So hopefully they're able to kind of bounce back next season when they're hopefully in the Trop.
That's a really good point, Carter, because traditionally the Trop has been seen as a pitcher's ballpark. And some have even suggested that some of the great seasons that pitchers have had when coming to the Rays have been connected to, you know, the Trop being a pitcher's park. So it will be really interesting to see when we get into next season how that may affect the team. You know, I just remember, I think it was Thursday night, Jax gave up that home run. And the look on his face was like, there's no way that got out of the park. Right. And I feel like we've seen that look on pitcher's face quite a few times, you know, both sides, like for teams playing the Rays and for Rays pitchers. So I do think, you know, the double-edged sword will be interesting to see the offensive numbers. You know, Cammy doesn't hit too many cheap ones, but it'll be interesting to see, as we get into next year, what the offensive numbers look like relative. I think, you know, Aranda is the only one where I think it'll still play well for him because he hits a lot of doubles and he just hits a lot of line drives. But I'd be curious to see how his home run numbers look when we come around next year. So the second game of the Yankees series was, I don't know if you would say it was, I would say it was worse than the first one. I would say it was worse because you got Drew went out there and did what he's been doing, which is six innings and two or fewer runs, just doing his thing, gave up two solo shots, no harm, no foul. And it seemed like, you know, we had gotten it through the worst of it and we were going to get a really important win there and, you know, tied it up late, you know, had all the momentum, you know, and then it just, Pete just lost it in the 10th, very uncharacteristically, just lost it in the 10th.
Yeah, Pete's been so good this year. Like, I know people kind of point to that outing and then the Red Sox giving up the walk-off to Sedan Rafaela, but overall, he's been fantastic this season. So it's tough to see him have a blow-up outing like that, but stuff happens. Relief pitching is like – I kind of compare it to kickers in the NFL. You know, like you don't really talk about a guy if he's kicking the ball well. If he's making his field goals, then it's not really a big deal. But as soon as he misses a kick, then it's like, oh God, caught him. You know, he's the worst kicker in football. So it's tough. You know, it's definitely a failure first type of position. That was a tough one. The offense kind of waited until the very end to put something together. I mean, that was a perfect game, right? Like they were getting,
they're getting perfect by, Schlittler.
Schlittler. Oh, goodness.
Was his name.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Schlittler. So that was tough, you know, getting shut down by a guy like that in a very much a hitter's park. Like that's a rough start. Wasting a Rasmussen start is always a bad thing. Like when you have your ace out there, it's just it's tough to have your offense just not show up literally at all for most of the game. But you know, it was nice to see a little bit of fight towards the end, but unfortunately it didn't come together, and it was definitely the worst possible team to lose to, because man, I freaking hate the Yankees. They are just the absolute worst. Like that fan base, man, just oh man, Yankees fans out there, please be better. Like it's tough to have to coexist with y'all. But anyways, that's enough crapping on Yankees fans for the day.
Never enough. But you know, the point is 100% true that you wanted to be taking the wind out of the Yankees' sails.
For sure.
With this series, instead of putting more air into it.
Right, yeah.
And I think that was the biggest frustration for me watching the game, was like, this should have been an opportunity at least to get a split, but to get swept in the mini series here, lose the season series to the Yankees. Now it's just a tough way for that to end. And to me, you know, the reason why I said it was such a big deal for us to win these games was because not only would it, you know, it's a division rival, you love to beat them, but it also really flips the playoff situation. And again, you know, the Yankees are struggling with the Red Sox right now. How much nicer would it have been for them to be losing two games to us and then struggling with the Red Sox to, you know, mess with them a little bit? And unfortunately, they got a little bit of a boost. And even though they're struggling with the Red Sox now, they can say, "Hey, we swept the Rays and buried them." Now that's not quite happened. The Rays are still hanging around, but it just really, to me, was a frustrating, just a frustrating two games that I really wanted to go a different way. And unfortunately, the hits just kind of kept coming the next day, with maybe one of the, you know, I don't want to say most disappointing start of the year feels dramatic, but it just kind of, you know, and the Rays agreed with me, but it kind of, for me, was like, all right, Joe Boyle's not ready. The first game of the Cardinals series, Joe Boyle goes 4 innings pitched, 9 hits given up, 5 earned runs, 6 runs, 1 was unearned, but 5 earned runs given up, 3 walks. And it just felt like, all right, I think this is not currently working out.
Yeah. I struggled with it, because I was at that game, and Boyle definitely, it was touch and go with the command and with the control. But he also was not helped out at all by his defense.
That is very true.
I said this in the Rays group chat. That might have been the sloppiest Major League Baseball game I've ever witnessed live. Like Bob Seymour slipping and falling at first base, and like Brandon Lau just throwing the ball. It's just, and then Bob Seymour also fielding a ball at first and then trying to throw the guy out at home instead of just taking the out at first. And then all the wild pitches. I know that was mostly on Boyle, not really Fortes's fault, but just really ugly stuff, really all the way around. And then we don't even get into the base running gaffe, but that's not really the Joe Boyle thing. We'll get to it for sure. But it was tough to separate like how much of Joe Boyle's struggles were on him, which he certainly bears some responsibility with the command stuff. But at the same time, like, man, having to get, you know, 4 or 5 outs an inning is just, I mean, like I went through it when I was on a travel ball team and I was pitching, and, you know, you're dealing with 14-year-old kids playing on the big field for the first time. Like that's sort of what it felt like with the Rays, like with those plays, like just like Junior sailing that ball on the right, like instead of just taking a nice, just so many awful mistakes by the defense. You really can't, like, obviously, like I said, he had his own share of the blame, but man, it's really difficult for a pitcher who's already like maybe a little bit struggling with command to really lock in when you know that like a ground ball is that hit to someone, like that's not necessarily an automatic out right now. Cause that's, yeah, was just how the thing, that's just how, things were going that night. And, yeah, it was a brutal game.
And, you know, it's funny because you know, if we told you, you know, all of you watching, and by the way, if you are watching, we appreciate you all. If you want to show us that you are enjoying the show, do us a huge favor and drop a subscribe over on YouTube or a follow on any of the other socials. Helps us out a whole bunch. It's free. Doesn't sign you up for anything. Just really helps us out. But if we were to tell you that, hey, we had a bunch of errors in a game, you might assume that it was Tristan Gray recently brought up. Bob Seymour was, you know, did have one error that he contributed to. Maybe it's Pereira. That was that, you know, he's up there and playing center field and he was struggling. I know it was Caminero and Lau with the two errors officially. Seymour, you could probably have given him an error, but you know, Bilau and Junior, we have waxed poetic about Junior's, you know, improvement on defense. And he's not to be, you know, we don't want to hammer him for one bad play. He's been much 100%. Better. But the, you know, I think the frustration comes in with where this is all happening at once. And you want the guys to pick each other up. And it felt like they weren't picking Boyle up, where on a night where, you know, he threw 91 pitches, Boyle did, in four innings, only 56 of which were strikes. Right. So that's going to hurt. It was the long at bats. It was the pass balls that was really hurting his outing. And ultimately it led to him getting sent down to AAA after this game. And it's unfortunate because anybody who watches him can see the talent, can see the positives there. It is obvious to all what he could become in a Rays uniform. It's just unfortunate that, you know, and we kind of felt like, hey, maybe he's there now. Maybe he's ready. He came up, had a couple of great starts. And then I think the word is out, you know, the dude will walk you if you let him. You will be able to get a favorable count if you are patient against him.
I gotta say, I agree with sending him down at this point. Maybe not even because it makes the Rays better. It's also looking towards 2026. We can talk about how the Rays are still mathematically in it, and there's a slight chance that they make it. This season's effectively over. Like they're playing for 2026. I'm kind of on board with them, because then Boyle goes down to AAA, has a bit of a reset, or like just finish out the season there, or maybe they bring him back up. But regardless, it's easier to work on this kind of stuff in AAA and Durham and build his confidence back up. Set when 2026 comes, he gets into spring training, he hits the ground rolling, he comes out and is, you know, he reaches his full potential. So I definitely, it's tough because he's a really talented pitcher, like Shane Boz we were just talking about. So it's tough to lose him. It's tough to not have him on the major league roster, but it's also important for him to be in a good frame of mind, a good mindset going into 2026. And I don't know, having him continue to flounder and struggle in the major league level just wouldn't have been good for anybody. So I definitely see where they're coming from with this decision for sure.
Speaking of floundering and struggling, the Rays offense put up three runs early in the game through three innings. And then, you know, felt like we had a little something going there in the bottom of the sixth. And had one of, you know, and it's funny because two seasons ago, we were constantly saying, why are we running into outs all the time? And it feels like this year we've really kind of fixed that.
Until tonight
in a game, which again, it's magnified because we're at the end of the year and every game matters. They all matter, but it feels more important because we're close to the end of the year and you can see the number of losses we have left mentally ticking down in your brain. To have you have guys on a chance to score and to potentially add on after that, after Tristan Gray finds a way to put the ball in play, would have turned the lineup over back to Simpson. You have just a mental error. I don't know how else to describe what happened there. Nick Fortes getting out at third and ending the inning. And because of the timing in which he got out, and then Pereira is scampering towards home, which, by the way, he gets on base too. You waste all that because he doesn't quite hoof it to get home, and Fortes gets out, and it's just a comedy of errors, and you don't score a run.
Yeah, just continuing to contribute to the sloppiness vibe, right? Like the very like they, like there's a segment on this baseball show I watch on MLB Network, MLB Now, like baseball-y plays, and that's unbaseball-y, like just pretty much as unintelligent of a baseball play as you can get. Not only getting thrown out at third with two outs, like that's a no-no, like that's can't happen. But then like Pereira kind of easing up there, coming home, like Nick Fortes not having the frame of mind, like, hey, this runner's trying to score, like, let me not get thrown out of third. It's really tough because it was a really good throw from, I forget who was in center for the Cardinals, Nathan Church. And it was a really good throw by him. Don't get me wrong. Like, it was a really good play by the Cardinals defense, but Nick Fortes is not Chandler Simpson. Like, he is not a fast guy. He is a catcher, and he's a very good defensive catcher at that. But that can't happen. And he got yanked from the game. Like, he got pulled by Kevin Cash. And I'm assuming it's because of this error, and rightfully so. Like, you have to, that cannot happen. Like, that cannot stand. Frankly, I don't know. Like, I know Fortes is a great defensive catcher, and hopefully he's involved with the team's future plans. But yeah, I don't know. Like, that was a really frustrating watch. That was really, really just kind of cemented just how poorly the Rays had played all night. And that was sort of just the exclamation mark, or maybe, I don't know, the question mark. I don't know, whatever punctuation mark you want to use to just sort of end what was a really, really poor performance, just a really sorry effort by the Rays that night. And it was just kind of indicative of the vibes of the team for the past like four games, really. But it all kind of came to a head. And yeah, Nick Fortes, man, what the heck? Like, I just, that can't happen. Like, that's not a professional baseball player out there. Like, that cannot be done by an MLB team or an MLB player. So yeah, it's hard to kind of formulate my thoughts on it just because, like, it's just so fundamental. It's just hammered home into you. Like, don't make the final out at third. Don't make the final out at third. And yeah, I don't know. Just really, really disgusting stuff for sure.
And, you know, I can understand the mindset of, hey, if I'm on third and Tristan Gray is behind me on second and Chandler Simpson, Captain Bloop single, can then score two runs, mm-hmm. all of a sudden it's a tie game. I can empathize with the thought, or it would have been a tie game at that point, would have tied the next inning. But I can empathize with the thought process, but you just got to know yourself better. And I think it comes down to, we see this all the time. When you feel like you have to be the one to get us out of the funk, when you feel like we have to do something, we got to make something happen, you play outside of yourself, you press a little bit, and the mistakes come. And I think that's where Cash pulling him sends the message, we have to play inside ourselves. We cannot press right now, because the only way we succeed is if we play in ourselves with, you know, the things we've been doing all year that have allowed us to have the success we have had. You cannot be pressing in this moment, because we cannot afford to have these kinds of mistakes at this point in the year. So while the idea, I like the idea of taking the extra base, I like the idea of pressing the issue, but it comes down to knowing yourself and knowing playing good situationally. It's one of the things when we always, across sports, the great players, the great organizations are the ones that are defined by how they perform situationally. If you are good situationally, you will succeed across. I don't care if it's basketball, I don't care if it's football, baseball. If you are good situationally, you will succeed. And I think that's where the struggle, you know, and the reason that Cash pulled in them, which is not very common. We don't, you know, Cash is not the type to just pull a guy. That doesn't happen.
Yeah,
it generally only happens where there's a really bad issue, or if it's some sort of behavioral thing. So it happened to Siri a couple of times, but it's very uncommon. But I think it was to accentuate that point that we need to be getting home at this point in the season. So it just kind of bad vibes overall there. But if you need to raise your vibes, if you're feeling low and you're feeling like, you know, when you're walking out the door on a given day, that you need to be more locked in and need to be more confident. There's a place that you can go to buy some cloth-based confidence, and that's shop.rblrsports.com. You can go there any day of the week where you need some confidence. Shop.rblrsports.com, the best merch inspired by your favorite Tampa-based sports teams, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, and Sun. It's all there. Use promo code FLAPPY, FLAPPY, for 10% off your entire order there. Shop.rblrsports.com. Some cloth-based confidence for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're looking to be the opposite of what the Rays were this past Thursday, if you're looking to be clean, you know, then definitely head there, because we got some fire stuff, not just Rays related, across Tampa Bay sports. Like Zach was saying, it's all the Tampa Bay sports needs, we got you covered.
Yeah, Bucks are getting rolling here. Rowdies, that's right, are, you know, they've new coach, new you, awesome stuff going on there. Sun are starting back up. Now's the time. And one other thing you can do when you go to rblrsports.com is you can get to the best article in Major League Baseball every single week, the Rays Roundtable, rblrsports.com, every Monday. It's got amazing stuff every single week. I read it every Monday. I love it. Rays Roundtable, rblrsports.com.
Yeah, check it out. It's the best Rays content out there. You know, if you're sick of the same old stuff, you know, reading the same tired old gimmick, then definitely head to the Rays Roundtable. We've got new people every week, you know, it's a rotation. So, you know, it's way better than the Rays rotation has performed this year. That's for darn sure. It is. Yeah.
That is for darn sure. Speaking of things that are more positive,
yes,
as we just talked about the awesome shop and the awesome Rays Roundtable, the first game of the Cardinals series was kind of a bummer, because the most exciting news maybe of the back half of the season came right before the game. Carson Williams, number one prospect in the Rays system, had been called up, which was, you know, in response to an unfortunate thing, which is Ha-Seong Kim is back on the IL with lower back inflammation. Stuart Fairchild, who the Rays acquired at the deadline, went to the 60-day injured list, right oblique. So he's going to be out probably for the rest of the year. Ha-Seong Kim, hopefully we'll be able to get him back soon. But in the meantime, it was Carson Williams' time. And he was not able to make it up in time for the game. I think he was in the dugout at some point, but he didn't end up playing. But last night's game, the second game of the Cardinals series, had Chandler Simpson's name written all over it. I don't know if we could have imagined a better first game for Chandler. He goes, Carson, oh my goodness, Carson. He goes 2-for-4 and has some of the biggest hits of the night, including a two-run home run at a critical point in the game where the Rays looked like they had almost lost it and looked like we were gonna lose another close game.
Right.
He said, no, thank you. Carson Williams said, no, thank you, to the tune of 400 plus feet dead center. I mean, it was pandemonium there. it was pure energy, pure excitement, seeing his family celebrate. What a moment.
Yeah. I mean, my goodness, like it's sometimes reality just feels scripted, and it's like, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's fantastic. I was going to the game Thursday, cause I thought he might be able to play, but didn't get there in time. But the TV broadcast was showing him all the time, like hugging teammates and stuff, kind of getting himself acclimated. And man, what a shot to the arm. Just really, really fun stuff. I don't know what else to say, because it wasn't a cheapo. Like, you know, you think, oh, well, he had a home run. Maybe it was the George M, you know, the GMS factor. Nope, that was a bomb. That was a tank. He hit the crap out of that. Yeah. And like, the thing is, like, you know, it's fun to talk about his hitting and all that stuff. And you know, it's hopefully that continues. Hopefully he's able to make him turn himself into a productive major league hitter. But with him, it almost doesn't matter. Like, he's going to be so good defensively. He's going to be he's going to be outrageous out there at short. And I know Walls has been also outrageous at short, but it'll be fun to see Carson Williams try to, you know, just put things together at the major league level. Cause man, if he can, it just puts to rest a lot of concerns and a lot of nightmares that the Rays have had at that position over the past few years. So it'll be really fun that, you know, just to see him work his magic and try to figure some stuff out. Obviously the swing and miss is a huge concern with him. So the struggles are going to come. He's going to have some down times. That's just going to be how it is. But you know, he had some downtimes this year in AAA. Like, they were talking about it on the TV broadcast, how, you know, starting out the year, like he fell in a lot of prospect rankings because he looked lost.
Quite a ways too. I mean, he was number, started at number 9 and was down in like the 70s and something.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And now, and, but then he turned it around, you know, he just settled in and the coaching staff in Durham was apparently saying about how, you know, and it never affected his defense. He was always showing up to play every day. Like it wasn't like a, like, oh gosh, darn it. Like I need to turn things around. Like it was very much a, hey, like, I'm new to this, like AAA is there's a talent jump, you know, there's a talent jump at every level. And AAA is no different. So I have no doubt that he's going to go through the struggles with the majors, but I think that he can, he's gone through some tumultuous times in AAA, which I think has really set him up well for the major league level. So, you know, it was just all good vibes. That was very much like a 180 from the Thursday night game. No, even though they still, like you said, they almost lost it there, but it was great to see Carson go out there and do his thing, and hopefully it's a sign of things to come moving forward.
Yeah, really briefly before we get back to Carson, because there's so much to say about him. Right. Rays pitching, man. Rays starters do not give up 4 earned runs challenge, other than Drew Rasmus. Level right. Impossible. I mean, it's just unreal. I mean, was cruising through 6, goes back out there for the 7th, gives up more runs, and then Jax comes in, and I don't even know what happened there. I mean, the location wasn't even terrible on the pitch, too. Jax has been victimized a couple of times where I've said the location isn't even really that bad, but people just put a good swing on it. So people that saying that was a terrible trade, I don't agree with you at all. I really do think that, you know, he's going to be really good. He's under control for a while, so people need to relax, in my opinion, about the Jax. He's going to be great. But it's just unfortunate to kind of let things go. The good news was that the staff locked it down after that. After Jax comes out, Baker and Fairbanks go and put up 0s. And then, like you said, Carson Williams in the moment. One of the things that, you know, you mentioned it, what we've heard about him is that when he was struggling, the defense never wavered. And that is something we always used to hear about Longo. And I'm not trying to put that on him, but that's something we always used to hear about him, is that he would not allow the struggles at the plate to affect his defense. That's such an important, you know, it's such an important characteristic for your star shortstop, or even just for your starting shortstop in general, to have that characteristic, to be able to confidently go out there and field balls, make great plays while you're struggling at the plate. So important for the most important defensive position outside of center field out there. You know, most people would probably say it's the most important defensive position. So
yeah,
that's something that's really exciting to hear about him from all the way up the ladder. And you make a great point about the adversity that he went through, was able to overcome, showing that track record. A lot of times you see prospects, they kind of plow their way all the way up to the major leagues. Yeah. They get up to the majors, they struggle, and they have a hard time kind of getting back on the horse and putting things back together, you know, once they get up here. And I think that, you know, Carson already having gone through that adversity, you know, that's something that I think is going to end up being a positive for him, because he's kind of already been through that valley and been able to drag himself back up where he wants to be. Just a really exciting player. A stolen base threat has been 20-20 the last 3 years.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Was the only player at the moment in AAA to go 20-20 so far this season. It's the speed power combo. It's going to be, the only question will be is can he keep down the swing and miss? Can he keep down the strikeouts? Can he keep it down enough? You know, he's a guy that's probably not going to ever bat 300, but if he's batting 250 and he's slugging 500 or more, which he has the ability to do, that's where things can start to move in the right direction, and he can provide that value. And if he's getting on base enough, the stolen bases then come into play, and he becomes a really, really dangerous player while also providing elite defense at shortstop.
Yeah, if he does all that, then he's an MVP candidate. Like
he is.
He's like I hate to set a 6-win player. Like that's such a kind of arbitrary thing for sometimes. But he's one of the best players in baseball if he does all that. And that's, I think, something that and which the Rays will do a fantastic job of this. They seem to have a very good grasp on these kind of things. Just communicating to him that, like, man, you know, try to relax up there at the plate, because you're so good defensively that it almost, like you said, it's kind of an added bonus. Like to me, like I was talking with my buddy about him, and to me, his floor is Andrelton Simmons. And I know that that's like, Andrelton Simmons wasn't a great hitter, but he was so good defensively that who cares? And if your floor is that, then like, hey, that's great. That's wonderful yeah. for a prospect, especially for a former first round pick. Like that's just so that's awesome. And yeah, the stolen base threat, man, if he can get on base enough to make it be an important thing, that would be wonderful. But yeah, even if he doesn't, his athleticism is going to play so highly in the field that it's all good either way. I'm really excited to see what he can do moving forward. There was a bit, like you said, at the beginning of the season, it was a concern. It was definitely like, oh my goodness, is this guy going to turn into a pumpkin offensively because he doesn't have the hit tool. But he's managed to turn it around. So like you said, the adversity played well. And yeah, I'm really excited to see Carson Williams moving forward.
Offense was good last night, even you know outside mm-hmm. of Carson Williams had a really nice night offensively. Bilal had another bomb. Junior had another bomb. Junior creeps ever closer to the 40 home run mark, which is exciting. And Bilal is now going to scare 30 home runs this year, which is exciting. I wish a little better record was associated with those two performances. Mm-hmm. That's been a little frustrating just overall this season. But season's not over yet. And that kind of leads us to where we stand right now in the standings. We are currently 7 games back, which is suboptimal.
Yeah.
The teams in front of us, if you are looking for some good news, which, you know, being 7 games back of the wild card with not that many games left is going to be, you know, tough to find good news there. But it's teams like the Guardians, who we play seven times before the season is over. So there's opportunity there. The Mariners are currently in the last wild card spot, and we do play them for 3 before the season is over. So we got some opportunities there. The Royals are also ahead of us, and they are, you know, they've been a very streaky team kind of all year. Same thing with the Rangers. So there's no juggernauts, right? And even the, you know, Red Sox and Yankees, who are just barely above the Mariners, they're kind of, you know, going back and forth trading that spot right now. So, you know, it's not like it's completely over. There's going to be a lot of work need to be done right now with the current projections. You know, we can estimate that the Rays can really only lose about 9 more games for the rest of the season. And that means that, hey, there's going to have to be some sweeps somewhere here. I'm not exactly sure where we're going to find those, you know, when we start, you know, like we mentioned earlier, we're on a weird off day on a Saturday right now with this weird split series there. But we're gonna get the end of the Cardinals series tomorrow. And then after that, we get the Guardians on the road for 3. And then we get the Nationals on the road for 3. I think the Guardians series is one you just got to find a way to win that series. I don't know that you're going to sweep that one, but you got to find a way to win that series. And then the Nationals is one where you might say, hey, if we can find a way to sweep, that would be, you know, that's an opportunity you may need to take, because after that Nationals series, you get Mariners and Guardians, you know, Mariners for 3, Guardians for 4 at home. And those are going to be really, really important games for seeding purposes. And there are also teams that are fighting for a playoff spot. So they're not going to be easy games. So, you know, the road is not closed, but the path is narrow. It's getting narrower and narrower every day. It's time to win some games.
Yeah, yeah, they're the they're Han Solo, Princess Leia, and Luke Skywalker. The walls are closing in. You know, mm-hmm. it's not over, but the monster's in the garbage, and you know they're yelling at R2-D2 for sure. So we'll see.
Great analogy.
Thank you.
It's an S-tier analogy.
I appreciate it. I don't know if it's in the cards, but it's definitely possible. You know, it's not totally out of the realm of possibility, but at the same time, it is an uphill battle. You know, they've done it before, you know, 2011 and all that stuff, but there's a reason those things only happen every once in a while. It's really hard to do this kind of thing when you've dug yourself this much of a hole. Like you said, a lot of the teams in front of them, like the Guardians and the Rangers, they're kind of in weird spots. And the Mariners, I mean, you know, the Mariners are a pretty talented team on paper, but at the same time, like, you know, they've got their own issues with their pitching staff. You know, they're a bit banged up with some of their guys. So I don't know. It's definitely possible. I wouldn't put any money on it. That's for dang sure. But I don't know. I'm excited to see Carson Williams if he continues to play, and I'm excited mm-hmm. to see Junior and Brandon Lau chase those home run milestones, just because that's kind of, you know, cannon fodder, you know, or narrative fodder, if you will. It's fun. So Yeah, I don't know. I'm not super stoked about the possibility, but you know, crazier things have happened for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that, you know, if we're looking for bright sides, there are some very fun storylines that we're going to get to watch. Absolutely. As the season ends. Yeah. Even if, you know, even if the playoff race does get away from us, you know, I can't tell you how excited I am to watch Carson Williams and to watch him struggle through and to see that development for him. The other big kind of transaction that happened is when Joel Boyle went down, Brian Van Bell, part of the one of the Rays' big acquisitions at the deadline, comes up from Durham. So we expect him to take Joe Boyle's spot in the rotation. And it'll be interesting. You know, he's pitched well in Durham since getting there. And, you know, clearly the Rays want to see what he has. And it definitely feels like we're in that point of the season where, you know, the Rays still want to be winning games. And they're still trying to get to the postseason. But I think it's clear that they're like, hey, we're also going to see what the young guys have. And, you know, Cash has been aggressive. You know, like, he's not leaving Boyle out there. He wasn't leaving Boyle out there, you know, late into games. He was quick to, you know, pull Boz and bring in Seymour. You know, he is still managing aggressively in a lot of opportunity when he has the opportunity to do so. But I do think there is a sense of we need to see what the young guys have.
Yeah, and that's 100% the way to do it, right? Like, I'm really excited for Fiducia too. I think yes. that they found a potential, you know, one of those, you know, one of their backstop options for going into next season, mm-hmm. As well as Fortes. You know, Fortes, as much as he was terrible on Thursday, like he's got a lot of upside with his defensive ability. So, but I don't know. It's a lot of, like you said, a lot of playing for next season, like checking out what they have in the works for next year. And specifically focusing on the catching position, like how do they, like the ABS stuff looms so large with a lot of these conversations, specifically with that position, that, you know, Fiducia has enough potential as an offensive threat that maybe he works his way into a starting spot next year and kind of takes as his role, because, you know, framing just doesn't matter next season, you know, because there's been a lot of talks about that. So it's one of those things, you know, you just got to wait and see. But yeah, I'm really excited for Fiducia and like you mentioned with Carson, and yeah, there's still reasons to watch the Rays, even if it's not necessarily for playoff contention.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the reasons to watch this show every single week is the Bat and Arm of the Week, where we celebrate the guys who, even when weeks like this where we, you know, didn't quite perform the way we wanted to in the win-loss department, the guys who excelled this week. We're in agreement on bat and arm this week, so we're going to start it out with the bat of the week, who is a guy that, you know, we didn't necessarily intend for him to have as much of a role this season as he has had. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I got to say, Jake Mangum, he's made the most of it, and he made the most of last week, hitting to a 166 WRC plus and putting up 0.3 F war over the five games he started. He's been good in the outfield. He's been a threat on the base paths, and his batting average is hovered between, you know, 280 and 300 basically the whole time he's been up. So he's getting on base enough to, you know, make his speed an issue. And I gotta give him some respect. The power definitely isn't there for him. But he is out there trying to provide some value, and I respect that. And he had a really nice week last week, and it deserves a shout out.
Yeah, and with him, like, a lot of his value is not only from the fact that, like, he gets on base at a decent clip, but his defensive value is really where he hangs his hat. And I'm hopeful that he doesn't get this is going to sound rude. I'm hopeful he doesn't get as much playing time next season just because they have better options. I'm hopeful that Johnny DeLuca is able to stay healthy next year and play center field on a more full-time basis. But like you said, he's performed admirably for what was expected of him and the kind of the role he was thrust into. And yeah, this past week he was great. You know, he was really putting it together offensively. So it was fun to see. And he can be kind of a spark plug for this team. It feels like, you know, he brings a lot of energy. He seems to, you know, he plays hard. Like, you can say a lot about him for his approach at the plate and for his lack of pop, but you can't knock him for not trying. You know, he is trying his hardest for sure. So love Jake Mangum, and he's an easy guy to root for, but hopefully he's a fourth outfielder next year. That's the kindest way I can say it.
Yeah. This week was not the most awe-inspiring pitching performance from the Rays staff this last week. But Carter, who was the arm that stood above the rest this last week?
Edwin Uceda, he was pretty fun this past week, and he's really turned things around. Like, he got off that start where, oh man, is he a one-hit wonder? Is he just going to have that 2024 season to kind of hang on his mantle and then that's it? Because whoo, golly, it was really looking bad. But hey, the Rays, I may not agree with them on every move, but they stick with guys. You know, if they think that there's still some talent there, they're going to stick with a guy. And they kept giving him opportunities to kind of turn things around and figure out. And man, he has pitched really well. He has been fantastic. He's really found his 2024 form, because he was one of the best relievers in baseball last year, like bar none. Like, he was really, really elite last year. So this is huge going into next year, because he's definitely going to be part of their bullpen next year, unless they try to trade him because it's the Rays and everyone's on the table, yada, yada, yada. But assuming that doesn't happen, I would assume that he's playing his way back into being a high leverage arm, because for a while there, he was sort of like all right, we need some innings. Let's put Uceda out there, let him continue to try to, work his way through his struggles. But now it's like, oh, hey, this is a big moment. Maybe let's get Uceda in there, which is a big switch. And it's been really, really, really fun to watch him do that, because he's a great pitcher. When he's got his things working, it's really fun to watch him. So shout out Uceda.
Yeah, and he's a guy who's probably going to pitch 66-ish innings for the Rays this year, which is a lot for a reliever, and he has the ability to go multiple innings, which we love. In his last 9 outings, he has only allowed 1 earned run.
Yeah, fantastic stuff.
He's turned it around. He's got that ERA back under 3, and that's, that's really exciting. He's a guy that is under team control until 2030. So a guy like him who has the, potential that he does, if he can figure it out, he's an inexpensive arm that could provide a lot of value. The hope is that he can continue. The walks are still kind of not where we want them to be, but everything else is kind of back in line with what we expected from him or coming off of last year. A lot of the other numbers are kind of back where they're supposed to be, so that's really exciting to see that he was able to bounce back like that. And all you can hope is that he continues that performance, because he's a guy that the Rays could build on in their bullpen going forward.
Yeah. And he was still getting the chases and the whiffs for the most part this year. It just, the results just weren't there. And it was really frustrating, because it just felt like every time he came in, he was giving up a lead, and it's just like, ah, golly, like it's going back to that whole conversation we had about the relievers or kickers. When things aren't going well, they are really not going well, and you're, calling for their head. But things are going really well for him right now, and rightfully so. He's hammering through, and he fought through the bad times, and he's back to where he once was, which is really, really valuable for the Rays moving forward.
It is, and regardless of the way that the rest of the season goes, I just hope that we can, some of these there are some more guys. Josh Lowe's one had a nice night last night. Need more of that from him. That's kind of what, if you're looking for things outside of, the Rays winning and hopefully getting into the playoffs, the other things to really be watching for that I'm going to be watching for is, can guys use these last couple of games, the last 30 or 40-ish games we've got left, to get back to form? Josh Lowe is one in particular that I'm really watching. Say, can he get back into form? Because we're going to need him to get to where the Rays are, hoping to get. Because if he's not what he's supposed to be, then there needs to be an addition somewhere. And that's not what the Rays are currently set up for.
Yeah, Lowe has been when he came back, it was literally just – it was amazing. Like, he came back and the Rays started winning in June. Like, it was like the correlation was like Josh Lowe just provided this, like, instant energy and just – it was instant gratification too, because they were winning games right when he came back. And then he fell off hard. It was really, really bad for a little bit there. Like, just one of the worst hitters on the team. And
he looked lost in multiple games.
Yeah, 100%. And the past few games, it seems like he's kind of changed where his hands are and his stance. Mm-hmm. Like, because he's always been kind of a bat on the shoulder kind of guy in his start. And it seems like he's kind of hovering a little bit more. So maybe that's something. I don't know. I'm not always super sold on making big changes to guys, because, like, who they are coming through the system, like, tends to be where they return to in order to find success. But at the same time, like, this stuff like this happens sometimes, an adjustment is needed to be made. And maybe this is it, maybe just getting a little bit more comfortable, or I don't know what it is or what goes into it. Clearly the smart math whiz guys are looking at it and making determinations. But yeah, if he's not able to come back and be who he was, like, in 2023, or at least be like approaching that level, then yeah, the Rays are going to have a tough time because they depend on him for a lot of their offense. You know, he's one of their better players when he's right. And he has not been right for the past, you know, month plus. So it's tough. He's also fighting through that hamstring injury too, right? Like he's
been struggling.
Yeah. He's still kind of battling with health, which sucks, but that's starting to become a pattern too. You know, it's kind of like the Brandon Lau thing for a few years there where he was unable to stay on the field. Like it's just a struggle, and hopefully he's able to stay healthy and turn things around and finish on a strong note. And then 2026, he'll hit the ground running. But definitely a big part of this team.
We're going to need him and a lot of, you know, really, you know, continual good performances from the top guys in the Rays lineup, which is your Belaus, your Yandy, who did leave the game and is considered day to day, not hoping to avoid an IL stint.
Yeah.
But is, you know, he is a little banged up. So you need him to figure out a way to stay healthy and provide some offensive value. You need Belau and Junior to keep doing what they're doing. And then you hope you get the contributions from the other guys in the lineup. And you hope that the offense that we saw last night shows up again tomorrow to finish out the Cardinal series, because, you know, you got to get some of that momentum going into some a tough series against Cleveland that you really need to do well in.
Yeah, Cleveland would be a really, really important series for them to win. And if they manage to lose both of these series coming up, like even setting aside the Cardinals series, like if they lose both the Guardians and the National series, I think that's it. Like that's the nail in the coffin. On the flip side, if they can get some games going, if like they win one and sweep one, then okay, things are getting interesting. It's kind of a big week, and I hate to put that much importance on six baseball games or seven baseball games if you want to include this last one against the Cardinals. But it's that time of year, you know, it's August. It's about to be September, so it's, you know, the rubber's hitting the road. So it's
getting late.
Yeah, it's getting late early, or it's just getting late. It's not even early.
Just getting late.
Yeah, it's just getting late. So it's an important week for the Rays if they want to maintain their, or at least if they want to stay serious about this year. But at the same time, like we've been saying, there's still a lot of reasons to watch the Rays, even if this week goes poorly and the season's kind of over in terms of playoff contention.
And whichever, you know, version of next week happens, we hope that you'll be back to join us next week, because we'll be here, rain or shine, whatever happens, whether we're losing games or winning games, we're going to be here talking Rays baseball, and we hope you'll join us. If you've enjoyed the show, you can do us a huge favor and drop a subscribe or drop a follow on whatever social media platform you enjoy watching us on. Drop a comment in there if you want to get your take in there. You want us to, you know, do some talk back and forth with you. We'd love to hear from you guys. And that's where the easiest place to do that is over on YouTube. This is going to be, you know, we keep saying that this is the most important week, but they all kind of feel that way because we are running out of games here. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like we said, there's a lot of, you know, exciting things to watch in Rays baseball land, even if, you know, the wins and losses aren't quite where we want them to be. So kind of regardless of, you know, what we're seeing on the field and, you know, regardless of the playoff implications, you know, this is a team that we love. We follow them in tougher times than this. And we're going to keep following the team. We're going to keep supporting them. We're going to be here. And no matter what, it's always going to be Rays up right now.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.